Good morning, Miss Tabernacle. Come on, come on. Y'all got 2 more hours of sleep than everybody else. So I need y'all to give your king a shout of praise. Come on, give the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords a shout of praise. You feel free to hop up to your feet. Shake the hand next to you. Tell them good morning. You look lovely. Happy that you're here. Come on, let's get ready to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with every hand lifted up in this place. Come on, every hand lifted up in this place. Father, we thank you. With our hands lifted up, we are ready to receive from you. So, Father, pour out a blessing we cannot contain, Father God. Increase our capacity. We are ready to receive from you today. Every prayer being answered, Father God. Everything stored up in heaven for us being poured out right now. In the name of Jesus, Father, through our praise, through our worship, God, we invite the Holy Spirit to take over and to just have his way. If you believe that, shout amen.
Who's ready to bless God with their praise this morning? Let me see you clap.
Bless the Lord.
Nice.
Come on, come on and bless him.
Come on and praise his name.
One more time, sing this out.
My praise is a weapon.
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 My dance 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 is a weapon.
Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forever. More of you. throat right where you are. Father, in the name of Jesus, I command the spirit of infirmity to come off his throat in Jesus' name. Lord, I just release the miracle-working power of God to restore and heal whatever has been damaged, that, Lord, he may sing and worship as the call is on his life. I rebuke the devil trying to take his call in Jesus' name. And God, we give you all the glory for the heavens, that, Lord Jesus, you'll see and hear your son sing just to you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said?
Amen.
I said everybody said?
Amen.
How many of you love Jesus this morning? Amen. Why don't you go meet a few folks? Go say hi to somebody. Say, boy, you know, you look really good today. Encourage someone in Jesus today. Tell them you love the Lord. Don't go sit down. Go find somebody you don't know.
Running a worship set. Getting a root canal. Getting stuck in traffic.
Seriously? Come on!
Starting a flash mob. Trust fall.
One. Two.
Join a group today. Go to histabernacle.com/groups.
Hey everyone, we want to let you know about some changes we're making to our Easter weekend. Due to unforeseen circumstances, we will no longer be having the helicopter drop, but we'll be having an 80-foot crane that's going to be dropping the eggs. That's weird. Anyway, March 31st, Easter egg drop. It's gonna be from 10 to 12. We're gonna have up to 15,000 eggs. Bring your kids out, invite your family. We're also gonna have bounce houses, but we want to see you there.
Guess what? We're getting our first Step 3 class of the year. It's gonna be evangelism starting April 3rd, which is gonna be every single Tuesday for 8 weeks. I'm gonna be the teacher. I'm so excited to be a part of this, and we will see you there.
Great news, the very first Uproar Partners Night is on April 6th. What is that? What does it look like? We know that the Word of God says, what you reap, you will sow, and what you do for somebody else, God will make happen for you. So what's happening this year is we're giving you the opportunity to come hear a word from Ted Shuttlesworth Jr. And if you've partnered with us in the past or are interested in doing it for the future, this is an open invitation for you. So April 6th at 6:30, we believe the power of impartation and God is going to move. He's going to do something. And this is a night you do not want to miss. Well, we're having our Uproar Talent Show at the Wings of Eagles Warplane Museum. This is gonna be May 4th at 6:30 p.m. You're gonna be able to support conference. You're gonna have a great night with your friends or maybe even a date. And I wanna encourage you, you can get your tickets right now via our website, theuproar.org, and make sure you're here with a friend to support conference.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How y'all doing this morning? I am so happy to be in the house of the Lord. There is no other place I'd rather be on a Sunday morning. And as Pastor Rhonda said, you are brilliant for being in the house. So turn to somebody else and say, yo, you're brilliant for being in the house. Amen. If this is your first time here, can I just see that awkward hand raise, like nice and slow? Awesome. Come on, let's give it up for our first time guest. If you just keep your hand up, we have a gift for you. Awesome. Amen. Keep on clapping. Keep on clapping. We love our guests. Inside this bag, you find some gifts from us. But more importantly, on this side of the sanctuary, of the building, we have a guest reception for you. You meet some of our pastors, some of the other people on staff. You're able to have some coffee, get some treats. Love to just get to know you a little bit better. But more importantly, just to say thank you so much for coming out to hanging out with us on this beautiful Sunday morning. Amen. Let's give a shout out to our live stream. Thank you so much. You guys are family. And in addition, our His Tabernacle Ithaca campus is live streaming right now as well. So we want to welcome you guys. Pastor Chad and Pastor Jay doing an awesome work out there. So just a quick recap, we have some phenomenal things going on. Empower Summit starts tomorrow night. We have our very own Bishop Thomas, who's going to be one of the guest speakers, and he'll be preaching this morning. So we are excited. You have a double treat. So if you want to sign up at the door, you can do that tomorrow morning. Starts at 7 p.m. And last but not least, who is excited for Easter? Yeah. So if you like to contribute to our Easter experience this year, we're looking for donations of candy. You can either drop them off in my office so I can eat them, or you can drop them off at the kids' check-in. No, please don't drop them in my office. I will eat them. Drop them off at the kids' check-in. The more candy we have, the more we can bless the children of our community and of our church. Amen? All right, let's have Pastor Martin to receive the offering.
Amen. Have we told you lately how much we absolutely love you? We love you so much. You know, I think they've shortened our meet and greet time, and it's not fair. I didn't get to everybody, but I'm going to come down and get to as many as I can during the offering time, too. I just love this family so much. You're incredible. It is an honor and a privilege every week to come up here and speak to you from the word of the Lord. And I love speaking finances from the word of God. I understand when God says that he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. I really get it because I love this time of teaching so much. So one of the things that happens to us is the enemy of our soul, Satan, tries to get in and tell us that some were just made to be poor and others were just made to be rich. And that's just not true. According to the word of God in Acts 10:34, it says he's no respecter of persons. That means he doesn't play favorites. That means what he's done for one, he'll do for you. So that is not true. You were not destined to be either rich or poor. He gives us tools in his word of how to become successful. In Malachi 3:10, he tells us to bring all of the tithe into the storehouse. And he says, test me in this, and he will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, and then he will rebuke the devourer. Well, now listen, the open heaven is just not for the impoverished, just not for poor people. The open heaven is His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in heaven, there's no lack. There's no depression. There's no brokenness. There's no sickness. There's no disease. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's why He takes pleasure in the prosperity of His people, because when we tithe, we walk under that open heaven. How many of you are business owners in this place? Amen. And you'd love to see your business multiplied, right? Every businessman is in it to make sure they're multiplying. When we walk in God's principles, listen to this story from Luke chapter 5, 4 through 7. And it's about Peter. He was a professional fisherman. That was his job. That was his business. Well, it was a down season. They had been fishing all night and they caught nothing. Like, the economy was just really super bad in that moment. They were catching nothing. But Jesus came in and spoke the word. And they trusted in the word of the Lord. He told them, they had been fishing all over, all night long, checking all the good spots. And He said, cast your nets to the other side. But Jesus, we've been out. No, they trusted what the Lord said was true. So they cast their nets to the other side. And it says there was so many fish in that net that it was spilling over and it was beginning to rip. You know what the awesome part about the open heaven as business people or even any kind of blessing is? When He blesses us, it's not just for us. They then had to call all of their friends over and say, come on, so your business needs to be to a place where you have so much business. You're telling your friends, come on, I can't take all this. You're going to have to take some of this and help me in with it. God's open heaven is His desire for every single one. And in Malachi 3:10, if we will trust what the Lord says, He will open the windows of heaven. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven for every single one. No respecter of persons. You know, even the most impoverished person in the word of God, this widow woman who was broke, she had nothing. It was a famine and she had her last morsel that she was going to eat and die. The blessing of God came in because she chose to trust the word of the Lord. She made that meal for the man of God rather than herself. And guess what? When she trusted the Lord, she had overflow. She had enough oil to pay for all of her debts, everything in one moment of trusting in what the word of the Lord said. Even the most impoverished had a turnaround. He is no respecter of persons. If you're ready to participate with kingdom finance this morning, blessing and prosperity, stand to your feet. In this house, we bring our tithe joyfully and excited to the front. And we have buckets up here, so we will bring them and we repeat the supernatural blessing from the word of God found in Deuteronomy 28. So if you'll repeat after me, with all confidence and all trust in this word, we're going to see supernatural finance. How many of you really believe it with me? Come on now, supernatural finance, multiplication upon your business, sharing with your friends, coming to you. If you give by text or by phone or online, just come up and touch the bucket, just representing what you've already done in your heart or done at home even. So repeat after me, Deuteronomy 28, it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord this morning. Watching via live stream, click on the giving button, give right along with us, or even text to give.
Bless the Lord, oh mighty ones. Bless the Lord, you heavenly hosts.
praise his name. Come on, come on and bless him. Come on, come on and bless him. Come on and praise his name. Come on, come on and bless him. Come on, come on and bless him. Come on and praise his name.
My praise is a weapon.
My praise is a weapon.
My dance is a weapon.
My dance is a weapon.
My dance is a weapon.
My shout 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 is a weapon.
Really good. Can we have a hand clap for our worship team? Aren't they awesome? Amen. You know, but you wouldn't have a worship team if you didn't have a sound team. Can we have a hand clap for our sound team? And you wouldn't have anything on the screens without the media team. Can I thank God for the media team? Amen. I mean, a lot of people don't realize how many people it takes to run a church on a Sunday morning. Yeah, I remember there was a pastor one time, he was trying to get more helpers, and so what he did was, the people just wouldn't respond. They wouldn't respond and join teams and help with the ministry. So what he did on a Sunday morning, he told all of those who normally worked on a Sunday morning to stay home. It was amazing to realize how many people would come to church, and then they say, well, where's the greeters? Well, why don't I have a bulletin? Well, I, you know, how come there's nothing on the screen? And they realize all of a sudden it takes an army to run the house of God. And I want to give God praise in this house. Just in the children's ministry alone, over 70 workers a month are working in children's ministry. Turn to somebody and say, don't be a slug. Turn to somebody else and say, don't be a slug. Don't be a slug. Do something in the house of God. Today, we are overwhelmingly blessed. How many of you know what the fivefold ministry gifts are? The apostle, shout it out loud with me, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist. Now, they have three jobs. What are the jobs? Equip, bring to unity, and bring to maturity. Now, if you don't know what those are, I want to encourage you, you need to join Rock Solid Faith, or Step One. Everybody shout, Step One. Everybody needs to join Next Steps. Why? Because you need to know what you believe. So the fivefold ministry gifts, what's powerful is that each one of them have a different anointing to accomplish a different task within the kingdom of God. Now, one is called the apostle. The apostle is one who is steadies and sets in order and places on as oversight. And today, I'm so privileged, my wife and I are privileged, to introduce to you, some of you for the very first time, our bishop. Now, when I say our bishop, I'm not talking my wife and I. I'm talking us. Amen? You have to have a bishop. There are pastors with no apostle over them, and they wonder why their works never work. Because you cannot build a house where there is not a foundation. So I thank God that today, as we stand here, we're able to introduce to some of you for the first time, and others, you've heard Bishop last year, our apostle or our bishop over his Tabernacle Family Church. So it's not just Bishop. Pastor Kathy couldn't come this time, but we are so blessed to have tremendous pastors over my wife and I and a bishop, apostle, over this house so that we have a firm foundation to continue to grow and see souls saved and for the church to grow healthy. If I say healthy, do you realize if you don't eat all five food groups that you're not healthy? You're missing something. And every church has to have an apostle. And I want to introduce to you right now our apostle, our bishop at his Tabernacle Family Church. Give him a long hand clap and a thank you, Bishop Rick Thomas.
Wow. Wow. Whoa. Praise the Lord. Reach over, take a hold of someone by the hand, if you would, please. Just reach over and grab a hold of someone by the hand. I do this in all the services, even at home I do. And you're going to give them a little squeeze. Easy, guys. I don't know what his men have to show their men when it comes to something like this. Like, feel that grip? I'm a man. That's not what this is about. Give them a little squeeze. Another one. God is a good God. God loves you. God wants to bless you. Father, I thank you for your presence, your power. Has already been released in this house of praise today. Father, we do lift up our praise to you. Releasing your presence. Releasing, Father God, power. Releasing, Father God, your purpose in our life. I thank you that lives are going to be transformed, for souls to be saved, for miracles to come forth, and supernatural insight and wisdom for blessing in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that you'll anoint everyone here that when they leave this place, they will not leave the way they came in. Father, anoint my life again one more time, that I might be that vessel you will use to bring forth your word. And everyone said, amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, clap one more time. Give him a celebration. You may be seated. We want to say celebrations to those that are in Ithaca and in the campus over there. We love you. Bless your heart. I haven't been there yet personally, but I will come someday. And but we are excited that you now have become in and be a part of the outreaches and the family and the church there representing his tabernacle. And I look forward to meeting you someday. But God bless all of you that are there today. We're going to have a great time today. I hope you know that. I'm excited about it. But before I do anything else, Reese, I really think, Minister Reese, I'm going to have you share a couple things with you. We brought some product. I'm going to get that out of the way because I don't want to talk about it. I'll let my son in the Lord, I know he's black, but he's my son. And the reason he is because he married my daughter. And she's black too, but she was raised in my church. So a white man can have black children. Let's welcome Minister Reese as he comes.
I look good though. I look good though. Or else his daughter wouldn't have had me. That's true. He's taught her taste. Amen. How many people are blessed to be in the house of God this morning? Amen. We just had a dynamic first service, and I'm telling you, the anointing in this one is overflowing as well. So you're about to be blessed. Real quick, I just want to share a couple things that Bishop Thomas has made available resources for this time, this today, and as well as throughout the conference. We just came off a phenomenal teaching over the last 8 weeks in our ministry. One of the teachings is called DNA, talking about possessing the promise that God has for you, living inside of the DNA. How many people know that you were created to live in the purpose of God for your life? Amen. And so this four CD, this series, we have available out in the lobby today. You do not want to leave without these resources. These are not just for to be left on a shelf. These are for you to be deposited into your heart and for your life to change. Amen. I mean, how many people are doers of the word, not just hearers? And so you want to get this in your spirit. This thing right here has literally changed our church in the last 8 weeks or going into the beginning of the part of this year. It has revolutionized Abundant Life Church down in Margate, Florida. And I believe that the blessings of God, it is exponential. Amen. And I believe that his tab, you guys are on something new. We were just talking about a shifting that's taking place. And I believe that if we get this next level in our spirit about who God has created us to be, everything you have need of is already on the inside of you. And these keys will help us unlock what God has said that we are. How many people know that you're sitting next to royalty right now? Come on, tell somebody that doesn't look all that convinced. You're sitting next to royalty right now. Amen, because Christ Jesus lives in him. The second thing here, we have another four-disc CD chain, disc compilation here. This one's called Living in the Promise. We're going to hear a little bit of this morning. And what it talks about is how many people know that God doesn't want you to visit his promises. He wants you to live in his promises. Oftentimes we travel the world seeing the body of Christ and people are in and out and it's like, oh, I was blessed once upon a time, but now I'm not doing so well. No, God wants you to live a lifestyle of blessing and promise. And this CD, this right here, there's four discs here and it teaches you how to see, how to activate, and how to release the blessing and the promise of God in your life. And also Bishop has made available three phenomenal books. Now I will say this about Bishop Thomas. He doesn't just write books for information's sakes. He writes it for practical application. If you cannot do what you do not know, I'm sure you're going to treat him better in just a moment. You cannot do what you do not know. And so Bishop Thomas not only writes books, but he also makes available workbooks. And so we have two books that we brought today. The latest book he has is called Speaking Into the Void. This is teaching you how to use the creative ability that God's given in your words to bring the chaos in your life into order, into God's order. Amen? And not only that, he has a study book to go along with it. And last but not least, he has a beautiful book that literally has taken him all over the world. Many, many nations, I think eight nations, this book has been translated and recently in Burma and Vietnamese and all over the world. This book right here has changed the world because of the truth of God that's in it. And it's called Significant Seed, Perpetual Harvest. And I'm telling you, these things right here are amazing tools. How many people know tools that sit in the shed are unproductive? But if you get these tools in your heart, it will change your life. And I believe that God's word is not limited to a place, a location. If it's one, it's good for one, it's good for all. Amen? And so these resources are available. There's some amazing deals. If you buy both CD sets, you'll get a book set free. If you buy both book sets, you'll get a CD set free because we don't want to take any of this back to Florida. You're laughing, but I'm so serious. We do not. We specifically made these available for his tab and this weekend so you guys can be enriched and blessed. Amen? So we believe that if you get these resources, it will put you on the next level of what God's called you to do. Amen? Are you ready for the oil this morning? Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. We have several books we're still working on. I've gone back and rewritten DNA of Success on three different times. How bad is that, huh? And so what we've done is hopefully we're going to come back out with it, and it'll be ready for everyone within the next couple of months because we have that book coming out. We're going back to Significant Seed, Perpetual Harvest. We're putting out a second edition that's going to be coming out on that also. And I'm excited about what God has been doing. But I'm just curious. I mean, how many have ever heard my ministry before? How many have not? Wow. Where have you been my whole life? Of course, we're from Florida. It was 78 degrees when we left yesterday. I know you really feel bad for me, don't you? I can feel the pain, you know. But I'm excited about being. I love being here in His tabernacle. We had the privilege to be here last year at a conference, and a couple of years ago we did a Sunday or Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But I love being here with your pastors and their family. There's something about the anointing. We walked into this service, and I said, "There's a different anointing in this service. There's a stronger anointing right now." And so, whatever you came believing God for, just reach out and take it. You know what I'm saying? In the spirit realm, take a hold of that and keep. Don't let it go. This is a day of miracles in the house. I can tell you that. Amen. Yeah, yeah. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you have to understand, you have to have, if you've ever had a miracle, you understand miracles. See, in the year 2000, I died of a heart attack and flatlined in the hospital, and the doctor was walking away. And that's another thing on the story, but God brought me back. And nobody, see, when you die, nobody tells you you're dead. I don't know if I read one of these books about these guys. I died and went to heaven. I didn't go to heaven. I died and I laid on the table. And I heard the doctor saying, "Nurses, we're losing him. We're losing him." Then I didn't hear anything for a while. And the next thing I hear is the doctor screaming at the nurses about, "Get back in here. My God, he's back. My God, he's back." And so God gave me a miracle. And that's when we wrote our book about Capture Mind of God, that a man with a vision cannot die. That's another story altogether. See, when you're committed to your vision, your vision's committed to you. So I know people who died, yeah, but you got to be committed to the vision in order for the vision to commit to you. See, the vision, it's important to understand, the vision does not have a time span. It has a completion. So as long as you're true to the vision, if something were to happen to try and take you out, the vision will fight for you. Did you get that? That's free. My next book will be. So we want to talk to you today because I really, see, God uses the word of God to paint pictures on the canvas of your mind. You understand what I'm saying? When I say words, They paint pictures on the canvas of our mind. We hear words, we get pictures. That's how we work. Our computer picks that up, but it helps us to be able to visualize and see things. And so, like for instance, if I talk about let's say a pink elephant, you know, you say, well, elephants aren't pink. Well, how do you know? Because in your mind, you can picture that the elephants are gray. See what I'm saying? But if I say, no, make it pink, in your mind, you could kind of picture a pink. Why? Because words paint pictures on the canvas of your mind. The Word of God will paint pictures on the canvas of your mind. It's what you see. What you don't see will cause you to miss out on what God has for you. Remember when Abraham was with God and God came in the 15th chapter, came to him in a vision, and he said to Abraham, he said, what about your children? He says, how many children that by let the servants in my house be my child? And God said, absolutely not. Go out and look at the stars. And he went out and looked at the stars. He said, as you're looking at the stars, understand they each represent your children. So now when he looked at the stars, instead of seeing stars, he saw his children. It says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, or entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared for them. The reason it hasn't entered the heart yet because eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard. But the moment you see it, you can hear it. The moment you can hear it, then you can possess it. Once you possess it, it will manifest itself. And it says, hath prepared for you, which means things are, it's important you understand, God's not preparing anything for anybody right now. Anybody who tells you that, they don't know the Word of God. It says, hath prepared. Hath is past tense. When you were born and came into this world, everything you had need of was already here. Oh, let me help you. God says in the book of Ephesians, he chose you before the foundations of the world were laid. So before the world was created, he chose you, which means before you were formed in your mother's womb, he knew you. So when you came into this world, you were already in God before you were in your mother's womb. That's why abortion is such a tragic. Hello. So when God does that, he brings you into this world with purpose and destiny. And I'm not preaching yet. Purpose and destiny. Purpose is the reason why you're here. Destiny is being able to take the gifts that God's given you so you can perform the reason why you're here. And it takes you to a place of completion because your destiny is not about you. It's about glorifying God. We do not what we shall be like, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him. So my purpose, the reason I'm here, is to take me to the place that I can look like him. That makes sense to you? So it's important that you have to see it. Because if you can't see it, you can't possess it. Look not at those things which are seen. Look at those things which are not seen. Those things which are seen are temporal. Look at a person next to you and say, God's not through with me yet. Because what you're looking at is something that's temporal. Look, those things which are not seen, for those things which are not seen are eternal. So how do I look at things that are not seen? He wouldn't tell me not to look at it if I couldn't see it, but if I can't see it in the natural, how do I see it in the spiritual? I take the Word of God, it paints pictures on the canvas of my mind, and I can see what God's saying. And when I see what God's saying, I have a picture of it. Once I have a picture of it, I can possess it. But I can't possess what I can't see. See, that's why faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing is comprehending, perceiving, and understanding. It's not just, I heard the Word. You know, a lot of people come to Sunday, they listen to the Word and leave. They really didn't hear the Word. Because the Word here is comprehend, perceive, and understand. That didn't take time to comprehend, perceive, and understand. Because they didn't comprehend, perceive, and understand, faith didn't come. Just because you can quote a scripture don't mean your personal faith. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith, the evidence, it is the title deed of things hoped for. The word hope is future tense. It's things you anticipate, which means you have to have a picture of something that you anticipate that you see down the road in front of you. Not what's in the now, but in the future. So if faith is now, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So you got to move your now into the future with a hope. Hope is favorable expectation, seeing what that eye hath not seen or ear not heard or entered the heart of man, but seeing what God said by looking at his word and letting him paint the picture of your mind. So now you have a favorable expectation for your life. Stand with me, guys. So what I'm here to do today and this week in the conference is just to paint some pictures. Not in the natural, because if you saw what I did in the natural, I do stick figures. But in the Spirit of God, my role is an artist. See, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Why is that? Because I confessed it into being? No, because I drew the picture and I could see it. When I could see it, it happens. So if I draw the picture by speaking the word of God and it's in a favorable and anticipation of what God said, it brings about good things. If I say the wrong thing and paint the wrong picture, then I open the door for bad things to happen. Now, it's important to understand, though, because confession is not based upon, oh, man, it's so hot, I'm about to sweat to death. Bad confession. No, that's not a bad confession. You don't believe it. You don't believe it, it doesn't count. If you do not believe it, it cannot work. I'm freezing to death. No, you're not. You didn't really mean you were freezing to death. It's just it's comment. You don't believe it. And the faith people run around saying, bad confession. No, a true faith person realizes that means nothing. But see, when I've been told my whole life long that I'm never going to amount to anything, I begin to believe in my heart that I'm a nobody. Then that begins to manifest itself because I believe it. So if you don't believe it, don't worry about it. As a man thinketh in his heart, so come on, look at the person next to you. He's talking to you. Man, he's talking to you. See, it's important we understand. Why is the fivefold ministry so important to the body of Christ for the edifying and the maturing and the unifying? Why is that? Because all we do is paint pictures to help you see what God has said about you so you can possess what God has promised you. And the way you possess it is you follow the instructions. God always has instructions for everything in your life. I mentioned something to your pastor earlier about something else. I'll teach on that later, but I'm not going to get into that. But the instructions you follow determine the future you possess. The Bible is an instructional manual. It's not a get-out-of-jail-free card. It's instruction. As many as received Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I have to receive Jesus in order to become a child of God. That's called instructions. My daughter, she's got three children, and last Christmas she asked me if I'd put together some things for her for Christmas. She bought these toys, and women don't do this to your husbands. But anyway, she bought these toys for my son, and brought the box and said, "Dad, do you think you can put these together for the kids? Why didn't you have them do it at the store?" Well, I didn't have time, and I knew you could do it. So I get home, I got in my house, I take them all out of the box. I call my wife, "Are you going to help me? I don't know how to do this stuff." She says, "Read the instructions." I said, "You don't need to do that." And I began to put everything together, and I put it all together, but there was a piece laying on the thing that was involved. But it looked good to me, but it didn't work because I didn't read the instructions. See, I had the stuff, but because I didn't follow the instructions, the stuff couldn't perform the way it was created to perform. Oh, come on, tell somebody. He's talking to me now. See, if I'm willing to follow the instructions, everything, all the stuff that God has for me will perform at full capacity. Amen. So we're going to get into some things today. I'm going to find out what you believe. Because I don't want to offend you. And, as I said earlier in the early church, you know, when you come to a place, you got to dance with the one who brung you. So I got to find out what kind of dances you know. Everybody's different. And I travel all over the world. It's amazing to me how you go to different areas of the country and how they have been, for lack of a better word, tainted with religious views. It's not Bible, but it's religious thinking and religious views. And I'm always fascinated with it because what I teach is always one of those things that everybody goes, "Oh boy, here he goes." Because I teach prosperity. I teach success. And for some reason, it's a dirty word in certain parts of the country. And I didn't say here, you said it, Pastor. But what I'm saying is wherever I go, it usually takes me 2 or 3 days to get it turned around. So because, and I want to just quickly, prosperity has nothing to do with money. Money is a fruit, but it is not the root of prosperity. Prosperity is about successful accomplishment. Prosperity is being able to do everything God called me to do and having everything I need in order to get that thing done that I can be the blessing he created me to be. I'm trying to figure out how to get in my sermon race. I'm just going right around, aren't I? They're pulling it out of me. There's an anointing here, man. It's just yanking it right out of me. But it's important that as we paint these pictures on the canvas of your mind, that we make sure, first off, we're biblically sound and not religiously oriented. See, we develop philosophies in religion that creates an ideology. A philosophy that creates an ideology is going to end up being discounted. Okay? Because philosophy is just that. It's what somebody thinks or feels. It has nothing to do with truth or reality. But we develop philosophies in life that creates an ideology. What's an ideology? It's the way I choose to live my life. It's the thought patterns and things I put into place now of how I'm going to live based upon this philosophy I have. But a philosophy, if it's a philosophy and it's not grounded in the truth of God's word, then it's just a philosophy that's carried out in an ideology that produces nothing but a dead end result. And that's where we've been in the church for years. And we come against things and don't even know why. Because we don't know the Bible. A survey done a number of years ago. It's been a number of years, so I don't think it's changed much since then, but I couldn't believe it when I read it years ago. And it was simply this, that 94% of all born-again Christians have never read their Bible from Genesis to Revelation. 98%. I'm sorry, let me get it straight. I jumped. 98% of Christians. 94% of ministers in the pulpit in America today who graduated seminaries have never read their Bible from Genesis to Revelation. So if the pastors haven't, why would the people? So we're in here trying to come up with how to live our life, and because we've not read the instruction manual, we don't have the right pictures in our head, so we develop philosophies based upon the world in which we live, and out of that we create ideologies, and then we call it Bible doctrine, but it's not Bible doctrine at all, it's just dogma. And then we poo-poo everybody else that don't agree with us. Fascinating, isn't it? So I'm going to create something today for you, if that's okay, okay? And we want to talk about things that we can come to a conclusion, agreement on, that we can move into the message. Number one, I want us to know that in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 12, he says this. It says, as many as receive Jesus, to them gave you power to become the children of God, the sons of God. You have to receive Christ to become a child of God. But once you receive Christ, you become a child of God. So, Reese, if you would grab me somebody to represent, I want you to have somebody represent a child of God to come stand up here for me. Just stand right there. You are a child of God. So when I turn to you and say, what are you? I know you're a woman, but you are a... you? Thank you. Okay, now we're moving along. Okay, the next thing is, he says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All the old things pass away and all things have become new. So I need you to get somebody to be a new creation up here. Now what's important about that is when you become a new creation, and I want you to get a hold of this in your spirit. When I received Christ, Jesus Christ, and became a new creation, the reason I'm a new creation is I've been taken out of the control of darkness, translated into the kingdom of his dear son's love. That means I've switched kingdoms. You can't live in the kingdom of God and not be saved. So when we come along and we receive Christ, who are we? Thank you very much. And once we move to the next level, we are a... You got it. And now in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9, he says we are a chosen generation and we are a royal priesthood and a holy nation set forth for the praises of the Him, right? So let's get a chosen generation up here. You know who you are. Who are you? Thank you. Praise God. First service couldn't get it right. It kept giving me their names. I mean, it was a horrible... No, I'm joking. We had a good time. I'm messing. Okay, now we go into chapter, or in 1 John 1:9. It says that if we sin and we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I need you to pick somebody to be forgiven. You got him up here? There we go. Got the forgiven one. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, Jesus, who had knew no sin, he took our sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I need somebody to represent righteousness. Now, you are who? Oh, we're doing good. Aren't we doing good this morning? Now we move over here, and we go a little bit further in the book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, you shall receive power if the Holy Ghost has come upon you and be a witness to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Therefore, I want somebody to represent empowerment. There we go. Wow. Look at this. The next thing we want to go to is in 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 24, and it says that by his stripes we are healed. I need somebody to represent healed. Praise God. Let's get a healed person up here. Hallelujah. He says in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. I need somebody to come up and represent blessed. Now, this is something you got to be careful with this one, Reese. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. It says, Jesus gave up his riches, took our poverty that we might be made rich. That's in the Bible, you know, 2 Corinthians. I need somebody to represent rich. So we have, hold on there. I mean, you got to give me a little better than that. Thank you. Yeah, empowerment. No. Healed. That's the problem with the church right now. No, I'm joking. You are healed. You are blessed. You are empowered. You are righteousness. And you are forgiven. Right? Now, hallelujah. You got to understand, they have no problem with being or with or church has no problem with that. We have no problem with being forgiven. We have no problem with being, we have no problem with empowerment. We have no problem with,
what?
We have no problem with, but this rich thing over here. Now, how do I know that? I need you to move over this way just a little bit. You move over here. It's good. Okay, Reese, get me a chair. And I want you to put it in the middle. No, you're good. Put it in the middle of all of them. Now, we're not going to put anybody in that chair. Because in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, starting in verse 10, it says, the people that have not given their tithe to God are cursed. That's where the cursed people sit. Now, the reason I can't put anybody there is according to statistics, less than 15% of the body of Christ tithe. We don't have enough chairs in the churches for the people who do not give their tithe to sit in, and they're all cursed. Now, here's the problem with that, is that you can be all of these things you want, but if you rob from God, this will alter what either one of these things can do for you. We won't hear that. It's important we understand, and I'm not here to preach tithing, but it's important we understand that the instructions you follow determine the future you possess. I left one piece out of my grandson's toy. It didn't work because it caused the rest of them not to function at full. Here. Y'all can be seated. Now we can teach our lesson. Oh, leave that chair there. I want to keep on people's mind. Say, really? Yeah. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you about the fact that because you are a chosen generation, because you are a child of God, because you have been made righteous, because you have been forgiven, you have all of these wonderful things that are in your life. I want to talk to you about the fact that because of that, that you have a right to the promises of God. And I want to talk to you about seven keys to keeping the promise that you need in your life. There are seven keys in order for us to function at full capacity as Christians. Now, what's important is we like to quote stuff in the body of Christ. We like to quote that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that if I don't have things in place, I can't. I have the ability, but I can't perform it. You understand what I'm saying? See, what I told the church in the first service is that, you see, I can stand up here, but if I have split my pants, it doesn't matter what I say. Because you're all going to leave and say, did you see he had split pants? One little thing will take you away from everything that's there. If I'm up here teaching and my zipper were down. Yeah, dear Jesus. Say, what are you saying that for? Because I want us to see the importance of following instructions in the Word of God. It's not a matter of the letter of the law. It's a matter of me performing what is I need to do in order for God to be able to do what he promised he would do. You ever heard of being at the right place at the right time? Well, that's what the Word of God does. It puts you in the right place at the right time so you can get the right results. The Bible says the Word of God is a lamp and a light unto our feet and our pathway. It says if you'll dare to put the Word of God in your heart, you'll not sin against him. My goodness. The Word of God will wash you and cleanse you. He says in the book of Joshua 1:8 that if you dare to meditate in it day and night and not let it depart out of your mouth, he says, he didn't say, I will cause you, I will prosper you. He says, you'll know how to make your own self prosper. You'll know how to make your own self successful. You don't need me to make you successful and prosper. I've already put it in you. Look at the person next to you and say, you're the image of God. The Bible says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. It searches the innermost parts of the belly. The spirit of man is it's God. The Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So everything for your success in life in what God's called you to do in purpose is already in you. You have the ability to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Those all things are predicated upon purpose and destiny. And because of purpose and destiny, if I can see it, and get in the Word of God and follow instructions, then it will fall into place. How many Christians have lived beneath what God had and went to the grave, never fulfilling purpose and destiny? Sad. It's heartbreaking. We wonder why the world doesn't want what we've got, because we're not living what we say. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, it said when the righteous the people rejoice. The word authority there is when the righteous are advancing, when they are heaping up, and when they're walking in abundance in what God's called them to do. In other words, if I'm a school teacher, I should be the best school teacher in that school. I should have people coming to me saying, how can I teach my students? Man, your students love the way you teach. The parents want their students in your class. Because you're using everything God gave to you in full capacity under the instructions of God. And so therefore, when you teach math, you're prospering. When you're teaching history, you're prospering. You're causing those around you to prosper. You know what prosperity is about? I believe God to prosper me so I can value others. True prosperity is not about you. It's about how you can value others. We find in the book of Genesis, let's go back first. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, it says that if you're in Christ, you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you're Abraham's seed, if you're in Christ Jesus, you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Because I've received Jesus, I have now entered into a covenant that God made with Abraham, and I'm heir according to that promise. Now, it's important we see something here because the promise of Abraham is the beginning and not the end result. I want you to get a hold of that. He said to him in the book of Genesis, in chapter 12, God spoke to Abraham. He says, I want you to leave your country, leave your family, and go to a land that you've never been. I want to take you to a place you've never been to before. Which means that if you're going to get to where God has for you in the future, you got to let go of the past. You keep living the past and you will shortchange what God has for your future. Abraham then was told by God, I'm going to bless you that you can be a blessing. It's important to see this. I'm going to bless you for you to be a blessing. I'm not going to bless you so you can beat your chest and say, look at me. I'm going to bless you to be a blessing. And those that you bless will be blessed. But those who curse you, though, I will deal with. So don't get hung up with people who don't agree with you. Why are you wasting all your time? You know, the dog barks at the moon. Eventually, the dog dies and the moon keeps shining. So let them bark. What do you care? Because if they want to be that way, there's nothing you can say or do that will help. You know, for those who understand, there's no explanation needed. For those who don't understand, there's no explanation can be given. Because they really don't want explanation. They just want to let you know they disagree with you and they want to put you down. So, I had someone several months ago, came to me and talking to me from another church, and they wanted to argue with me about the Holy Spirit. And they're going on and on and on. They said, what do you think? I said, I got nothing to say. They said, well, you know, wait a minute. I said, number one, you're talking to the wrong person because, you see, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I speak in other tongues. I pray in the Spirit. I've experienced supernatural things. I said, and number two, there's nothing you're going to say that's going to change me. I said, now, the third thing is, though, based upon listening to you, there's nothing I could say that you would allow to change you. So have a good day. Because I found out there's a lot of people out there that are looking for truth. Why do I want to waste my time that want to argue what they don't know? So I look for people that are seeking for truth. So he said, I'm going to do that. Now, Genesis chapter 12, he talks about that blessing with Abram. Now, he says something very unique, though, and I didn't cover first service. I want to cover this just real quick. He said to Abram, he says, now, you got to leave everything and family. But he decides to take, watch this now, he decides to take his nephew with him. And here he goes with his nephew Lot. And then there's a conflict. He's having problems. God's blessing him, but in the middle of the blessing, there's conflict. See, you need to understand something. In the middle of God's blessing, there shouldn't be conflict with family members. Okay. So Lot's been blessed because of Abraham. Because of Abram. And now, because Lot, you have to be careful, because when you bless somebody, don't bless anybody with something that you're going to hold them captive with. Because when you do that, eventually they begin to want to rebel against you. And Lot said his men began to argue with Abraham's men, and God said, I told you to leave him home. So he goes and lets Lot go. And the minute he lets Lot go there, you find over there in the 13th chapter, you find that once he lets Lot go, God says, now come up on the mountain. I want you to look, and wherever you see, it's going to be yours, and wherever you walk, you will possess. Amazing, isn't it? But because of his disobedience, he couldn't enter into what God had. Now understand, God promised him that his children, God would bless him and his children, and they would bless everyone else, but he still doesn't have a child yet. But the reason he hadn't is because he hasn't followed instructions. So we go a little bit further, and we get to the 14th chapter, and Lot, now that he's left, the kings come in, take Lot captive and everybody with him, so now he's got an obligation to go set Lot free. He goes and gets him free, sets him free, defeats the kings, defeats the enemy. He comes back and he runs into a high priest called Melchizedek, which is Jesus Christ, a type of Jesus Christ, Old Testament, Jesus. Now watch this now. He gave him tithe of all. Now here's how we read it in our philosophy that's become an ideology, which leads to a dead end. When he said he paid him tithe of all, we read it, he took everything he won from all those kings and gave Melchizedek tithe. That's not what he said. Because if you read the whole chapter, you find out when he met the king of Salem, the king of Salem said, listen, he says, you just keep it all to yourself. And he says, I will not take one thing out of this, lest you say you made me rich. You see, because when you're under another king and you're in his territory and you defeat the enemy, what you get from the enemy belongs to the king that you're under, not to you. Abraham did not give him tithe of the spoils because it wasn't his to give. If you got $20 on you, cash. Who's got 20 on them? Oh, good. Give me a 20. I got it right here. I don't care. Woman, man, don't matter to me. Money's money. Grain to grain. No male or female. I need an envelope, tithe envelope. Could you put that in there for me, please? Got a pen to write with? If you could put my name on there, Bishop Rick Thomas. That's so good. Okay, that's good. Who collects the offering right here? Who gets the offering right here? Somebody come get this offering. I got to give some tithe. Okay, you'll collect that? Okay, that's to the Lord. God bless me. I'm going to open the window of heaven. Super, thank you very much. How many knows that doesn't work? You know why? It's not mine. Hold this. Always look for a return. She gave me 20, I gave her 50. You can't take what's not yours and give and ask God to bless it. Got that? Okay, so he brought him tithe of everything from chapter 12, 13, 14 that he had possessed because it said in 13 he became a very rich man. He gave offerings, he built altars, but he never gave a tithe. And that's where the church is today. We give offerings, but we don't give tithe, and that's why our offerings are limited in what they can produce. It's important you understand, and you heard Dr. John Evans, he was here, the tithe makes everything else holy. It's a covenant. The tithe is holy unto the Lord. So if I'm not a tither, the law of sowing and reaping will work in my life because the natural law of sowing and reaping in Genesis 8:22, as long as the earth remains, there's seed time and harvest. I'm working off a physical reality, not a spiritual dynamic. But when I give my tithe, it goes from a physical to a spiritual dynamic. And when you go to the spiritual, God says it'll come back pressed down, shaken together, running over in good measure. So Abraham, now, after meeting with the king of Salem and walking away, giving it all to him, he paid tithe. For the first time in his life, he paid tithe. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, isn't it amazing? And then God came to him in a vision. See, he couldn't have a child because he couldn't see it because he wasn't following instructions. He had a piece of the toy laying on the floor. That's where a lot of Christians are. We got a piece of it laying on the floor and can't figure out why. All this, I'm doing everything right. No, you're not. No, you're not. You got to put it together. It's a package. No. God came to him in a vision and said, what about this child? He says, well, I haven't got a child yet. Now, watch this now. Now he blames God. Isn't that what we normally do? It's God's fault. No, God couldn't perform what he promised you to. You follow the instructions he gave you. He followed the instructions he gave him. Now the vision of God comes and says, go out and look at the stars. What do you see? He says, I see the stars. He says, no, look again. You see your children. Now watch this. Let me help you with this. He says, now every star you look at is your child representation of the future. Two verses later, the next verse says, and Abraham, and I love this, the church is so messed up. Because now he's tithed. He's got a revelation. I opened the windows of heaven. Windows are not, again, we take stuff out of context. The windows are for seeing, not for pouring. Anybody get up this morning and pour something out your window? If you did, you're weird. You put windows in houses to see. I open the windows of heaven that you can see. Once you see what I have for you, I'll pour out. I will release into your life this revelation. See, when you get the windows open, you're ready to receive from me. Let me pour into your life. Let me paint the pictures on the canvas of your mind that you can see what you've never seen before. And once you see that, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. What's he rebuking him for? He's not rebuking him from anything but the vision he gave you. Because when you give yourself to the vision, he gives itself to you. And a person with a vision cannot die. I'll pour you out a blessing. The word blessing that you cannot contain is a demarcation in the Hebrew language, which is a benediction. I will declare what you saw is so. And when I declare it so, I rebuke the enemy from it, and he cannot touch it. And the reason I declare it so is because you opened the windows with your tithe, and we made everything holy from that point on. Stay with me now. Genesis 15. Let me get the scripture. Forget the message for the day. I'm so off in another direction right now. Bless you, Lord. There's an anointing in this room. I'm telling you, there's an anointing in this room today. In Genesis chapter 15, it says in verse 6, he believed in the Lord. He accounted him for righteousness. Okay? Doesn't that sound good? Remember, the tithe opens the windows of revelation. Once you see what God's prepared for you, what eye has not seen, ear prepares for you, he will decree that what you saw is so. He paid the tithe to Melchizedek. He told the king, you keep what's yours. He went before, you'll not make me rich. He went before God. God came to him in a vision. God opened his eyes, and the windows of heaven were open, and he saw his kids. Doesn't that sound great? We're not done yet, though. So here's where the church misses it. Then he said to him, verse 7, I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. And then Abram said, God, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? Excuse me? Wait. He just believed God is counted for righteousness. Listen to what he's saying. It's not about what he believes. He says, how will I know? Give me the instructions that I know this is going to come to pass. See, I messed up with my instructions of the past. I don't want to mess up with my instructions of the future. And listen to what God said to him. He said, build me an altar. Give me an offering. Tithe is for revelation. Offering or seed is for manifestation. Offering does not produce fruit. It makes who you are and what you're doing holy. The seed you sow after you have made what you have holy becomes supernaturally inspired by the power of God and his kingdom, to where now it will be fruitful, multiply, and replenish. Only seed can produce life. I said only seed can produce life. We've had people abuse it, trying to take advantage of people and rip people off. With, you know, we're talking about showing all these things and making people move with all kind of emotional feelings. And when you leave, you go, God, I can't believe I gave that much money. How am I going to pay my bills? Because you weren't God moved, you were emotionally inspired. You have to be word oriented to be God moved. See, I don't have to come out here and teach you anything. I could come out here and tell him, I could show you some videos of our orphanage over in Thailand. Show you some of our kids that we rescued out of trafficking. Girls we pulled out of the homes and stuff that have been abused. Little girls, by the time they're 15 years old over there, have been with over 2,000 guys. They take nine-year-old girls, they pump their little breasts with hormones so their little breasts will grow and they're virgins, and they sell them for $5,000 to clients because they're virgins, because the clients don't want to use the prostitute because they might get a disease. And by the time that child's 15 years old, their life is destroyed. I can show you those pictures because we deal with them. I can take you to some places that you would weep if I came in here and talked about it. I could give you the sad song, but then you'd give emotionally and you'd never want to see me again after that. Or I can give you the word of God and let God speak to you and you sow a seed for the same thing, but do it God-led and not emotionally led, and God will supernaturally, and you'll leave feeling good about yourself. Funny thing, isn't it? See, God, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, turn there. I ask the musicians to come. Wow. We have definitely gone off the reservation. Hope you all are enjoying this as much as I am. Okay. Here in 2 Corinthians, something going on here. Hello, Dolly. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 6, he says, "But this I say to you, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Look at the person next to you and say, "You set the size of the harvest yourself." Yes. Oh, God's going to give me what he wants to give me. No, he can't. He can't give you what he wants to give you until you do what you're supposed to do. So, well, I don't believe that. Then you don't believe the Bible. How many believes Jesus was the greatest miracle worker that ever walked? But yet when he went by his homeland because they didn't believe, he could do a few miracles. This is a miracle worker. This is the miracle himself. This is God incarnated in the flesh. This is the creator of all things. And miracles were limited when he was in the body in a form of flesh because the people didn't believe. See, it's what you believe and how you act upon it and how you move with the instructions that determine the future. So you decide, sow bountifully or sow liberally if you want, or sparingly, whatever you want. But don't get mad at somebody else because they're blessed. Let each one give as he has purposed in his heart. Oh, as I purpose in my heart, not grudgingly or necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, be satisfied that you've heard from God. This is God, and I'm okay with it. If God tells me to do a big number, I do a big number. If he gives me a little number, I do a little number. I'm not trying to give what somebody else wants me to give. I'm giving what I know in my heart of hearts God told me to give, and because of that, I'm satisfied. I can do with it. I remember as I was over in Columbia, and I was preaching, and they asked me to take an offering for their building fund. They were building this $53 million facility over there. And I got up, and I was challenging the people to give an offering. And I said, "Boy, it'd be great if everybody could give $1,000 and just believe God, because they got 27,000 in their church." And I was trying to challenge them that day because we're raising money for the steel that goes in the footers. And I heard God speak to him, and he said to me, "I'm not going to bless you because I told him I was going to give $1,000. I was trying to look like, I'm going to give $1,000 if you give it." You know, in other words, I was trying to put a little guilt trip on him. I'm a visitor, and I'm giving $1,000. This is your church. You should do something. Now, we don't like to call that, and I didn't think of that manipulation at the time, but now I realize I was just manipulating the people. Guilty. I'm glad y'all aren't guilty of anything, but I was guilty of that. God's forgiven me. So I said, "Well, Lord, I'll give $2,000. And I heard the Holy Spirit literally laughing in my ear. So I never heard her laugh. Well, you never did stupid things like I did, I guess. So I turned to the musicians and I said, "Just play something." So just kind of play something. And I stepped back and they were playing. I said, "Let's just all get the mind of the Lord." And I stepped back and I said, "God, what do you want me to give?" He says, "If you give what moves you, then I will give to you what moves heaven. What moves you will move me." I said, "Okay, I'll give $3,000. And again, I heard the Holy Spirit laughing at me. I said, "God, what do you want me to do?" He says, "Give them $10,000 and watch what I'll do for you." I said, "I need to call my wife." But we gave $10,000 and God gave us a miracle in our church. Because we were going through some things, we needed a miracle. We needed a legitimate miracle. We went through a process in our church where a man stole $1,670,000, embezzled it from our building fund. We were going to buy property, and the man in charge of it embezzled the money. Because of that, you know who they blame? I had nothing to do with it, but he took our money. I had almost 1,000 people leave our church. And I couldn't do anything about it. I had done nothing, but I couldn't. Long story short, we went through the process of it all. 9 years going before the courts. This guy had lawyers and just kept tying us up and tying us. Plus, it included a bank that was involved in it, and the bank had lawyers. And it was this little church fighting all of these entities. And finally, after 9 years, I was so sick of it. I said, man, I'm about almost 10 years, really. It was 1999, 2009. Ending 2009. And I told my wife, I said, I'm going to meet with the board. We got to stop this. Listen, people have left. They're going to leave. There's nothing to do about it. There's no way. I can't keep spending money, throwing good money after bad money. I got to walk away. God, I just don't know what to do. And it was during the Christmas week. We have New Year's Eve, and it's our word of the Lord service we've ever here. And in that New Year's Eve, we ask people to sow a first fruit seed for the year. It's a big night. It's a big thing in our church. And I was praying about it, and the Lord spoke to me. He says, if you'll give $25,000 this year, see what I can do with this situation. So I went to my wife. I said, this is what the Lord spoke to me. She said, the Lord told you to do it. Let's do it. So we went on our retirement, took the money out. Of course, there's a thing you got to think. You got to break some things, and so you're going to lose some money taking it out. And then, of course, I'm thinking, you know, you're supposed to have inheritance for your children's children. That's all the argument you give to the Lord, you know, and because you're taking it out of their inheritance, you know. But we were obedient. 5 days after that, the bank called me up, and they said, listen, we can keep fighting in court, but we want to close this thing out ourselves. They were on the hook for $1 million because they're president of their bank had worked with our guy to help embezzle the money. So it was a whole thing. And so they said, would you settle for $800,000 and we'll close it out? I said, I'll settle for $850. It was just the principal. And so they said, you got it. They sent the paperwork, and in 24 hours the papers were signed. It was done. $850,000. I had a man call me up that had been in our church for years that had sat on the front row that God had given me a word to prophesy to him about. He was going to finance the kingdom of God and begin to speak into his life about some things. And he told his wife, he said, he had a good job. He said, but there's no way we can do what the prophet prophesied to us without an idea. We need a bigger idea to make some money. And so he said, within 8 days from the time it happened, we've been praying about it, began to seek the Lord, and even got my dad to pray with him. He said, God gave us an idea in the medical field. He got three partners who got with him. They put it together. 8 years later, he had to move away to another city because of where the company was. So he hadn't been in our church for 8 years. Calls me up and says, we're going to be in town. Can we take you and your wife to lunch? I said, certainly. We go to lunch. We're sitting at a table. I'll never forget Big Bear is a restaurant there. And we're sitting across the table from him. And he reaches his pocket and he says, you know, he says, if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be here and what your dad has done for us. And he slides a check across the table to me, or an envelope with a check in it. And he says, and we sold our business for $80 million. He says, I'm at a church up there. We take care of that because I know what you taught. But he said, my wife got to think about you. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be where we're at today. If it wasn't for your church. And I go, okay, thank you. And I'm going to put it, because, you know, this is embarrassing to open up for somebody to give you something like you open up, you know. So I just kind of was going to, and he says, you need to look at that check. So I opened it up. It was for $585,000. I had a man in my church, been in my church for years, called me up, and he says, we were down praying this. That was on a Friday with them. Now you understand, we're going from Monday to Friday now. The following Monday after the weekend, this man calls me up. He says, my wife and I were praying. God's been dealing with us. We have our company. It's a very successful company. He says, we have a charity in our company that we do things. And God spoke to him and said, what are you doing that for? Give it to the church. Their charity is greater than yours. So here's $100,000. I said, really? Yeah. had a man that was in our church for years. He was a paraplegic, 19 years old or 18 years old, got a motorcycle accident, broke his back and his neck. He was paraplegic. Had a little house, didn't seem like he ever had anything. He passed away, 34 years of age, he passed away. I get a phone call towards the end of that week. It's his lawyer. His lawyer said, we're closing out his estate. He left $100,000 to the church. And another man called me up and he says, you know, I don't know what it is, but God's been dealing with me. Can I come by and see you? I said, sir. He came by, he says, here's $100,000. I had $1.8 million in less than 2 weeks back in my hand when I gave it to God after we sowed the seed and said, look what God can do. When I moved me, it moved God. Say, why are you telling us this? You've got to hear from God. But I got to give you some examples to understand. My daughter is the most incredible young lady in the world. But she had a bad marriage. The man she was married to had an addiction problem. And it got so bad that it just couldn't work anymore. And it ended in a tragedy and a divorce. Three young children. She worked for me. But she's a single mom taking care of three children. Difficult. But she's a giver. She's always been a giver. And so this past couple of years, she went through some things that she really went through some transitioning in her life and things like that. And she says, I know God's going to make a way. He's going to be. But like I said, she's a giver. So there's a group called ULA that's out there today. You might know who they are. They're a motivational group. They're a Christian group. But they're known across nationally, across America. They have their conferences. They'll have 5,000 or more in their conferences. It's huge. They've written several books that the people who publish the Chicken Soup for Soul, you know, for the souls, they publish their books. They have two bestsellers. My daughter met them during this time. They said to her, they said, we really like you. They began to talk to her. They said, you have some ideas. She gave them some ideas and they liked it. And they have these stickers that they fill out dreams on. And get people to sign dreams. And they're putting them on this van that they take all over America. And their goal was 1 million dreams. And so my daughter said, well, give me 10,000. And they laughed at her. She said, don't give me 10,000. They gave her 10,000. She went to Nicaragua on a missions trip. She came back. She gave them 8,000 dreams to put on their van. The people signed over there. They looked at her. They said, we've been doing this for 6 months and we've only got 80,000. You got a tenth of what we got in a week. We need to talk. Long story short, they now have made her a part of the team. She's now a part of the team. She's going to write a book for them. She's going to write a devotional for them. She just did her first thing for them 2 weeks ago. Had 55,000 people watching her on the internet. What are you saying, Bishop? I'm saying this, that when you get your instructions right, and you have to start where you are. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to take up an offering. I guess this will be okay for me. Thank you. I needed that. We're going to take up an offering today, and it's not going to be for me. And I want you to look at me, and I know where you're going a little over. I'm going to finish up pretty quick here. Just stick with me just a few more minutes. I don't need an offering. My family's blessed. My children are blessed. They all have homes. I have a home. I can give everything away because I owe nobody nothing but love them. I'm blessed. We've gone from a $25,000 offering now that, and I don't say that, please, I'm not bragging. This is not, I'm boasting on what God's done in my life. I'm trying to teach you something today. We've gone from that to now where we give in excess of $100,000 a year to the kingdom. Because God so blessed us. So I don't stand before you today and say, give me an offering. I don't need an offering. I'm going to go home. I got a beautiful home. I got a beautiful wife. I got luxury cars. I go where I want, buy what I want, do what I want, because God's blessed me in that way. And again, that's not braggadocious. I'm just telling you so you understand. We take up an offering today. I want you to get in your mind, it's not about him. It's really about you. Because I found out that when I tapped into that anointing, because you see, my mentor was here not too long ago, Dr. John Evazini. He's the one who taught me how to tap into the anointing of another, because when you sow a seed in the anointing of another, it causes their anointing now to be upon you for your anointing. Isaac sowed in the time of famine, reaped a full capacity, hundredfold in the time of capacity. Y'all remember that story? Genesis 26. Isaac sowed in the time of famine, reaped a hundredfold. Watch this now. And then the Lord blessed him. You know why? Because when he sowed into famine, God said to him, don't leave the country, stay in the country. As I was with your father, I'll be with you. So he sowed the seed based upon his father's blessing. But the moment he got in obedience and followed the instructions of God and did what God told him to do, when his offering came in, then God gave him his blessing. You can live off this pastor's blessing all you want to, but until you come obedient to God, you're never going to have your own. But if you will let his blessing now begin to be released into your life, now you not only will have his blessing, but you'll have your blessing also. See, I'm in Jesus. I'm an heir according to the promise unto Abraham, but I've got Abraham's blessings. I've got Isaac's blessings. I've got Jacob's blessings. I've got the blessing of Jesus. He's blessed me with all spiritual blessings. He's blessing me. Am I coming in? Am I going out? If God be for me, who can be against me? He's made me above and not below. I got, oh, come on, tell somebody, you need your own. So what we do is we challenge people to help us with our orphanage. I'm not going to go through a bunch of detail. We rescue children from trafficking, or we take kids whose parents have died of AIDS and we house them. 178 kids in our girls and boys home. We started in 1994. God's blessed us beyond measure over there. We reach into all of these areas to rescue these kids. And I want to challenge you to sow a seed to help us over in Thailand and help us in that area. Now, here's the thing. When you make a check today or do your credit cards, have you do it, I want you to make it out to His Tabernacle, because anything you give is going to go through this leadership. And they can tell you what you gave to that program. I want you to know everything about it. Is that fair? I'm not up here spinning a story. I'm up here telling you the truth. Not so that you'll give just an offering to my kids, but so you will understand when you are moved into this capacity and let God speak to you about this, it's going to now be a shifting in your life that you're going to move into from a blessing of here to it becoming your blessing. That's important you understand that. I worked with Dr. Oral Roberts for years. Somebody said, where did you get this thing? I worked with Oral Roberts for 7 years. Sat at his feet, sat in his house. He would sit there and mentor my wife and I, him and Evelyn, and they would talk to us and pray with us, and we'd eat dinner with him, and I'd play golf with him. I'd carry him around and pick up his clothes and do things with him, and we went all over the place. But let me tell you what I got out of it. I gave him, our church gave ORU almost $1 million during those 7 years. But that's why Abundant Life is where, that's why I'm published in 8 different countries. That's why God has allowed us to reach out and build 22 other churches. That's why God's allowed us to give millions to missions, because we were willing to do the difficult. Now God's ready to do the impossible. So I'm going to ask the ushers if they would. I want everyone here to receive an envelope. Say, I'm not going to give anything. Just take the envelope. It's soft. It's nice. You never know. Just take an envelope, please. Really different. I went totally off the rail. I want you to take that envelope and I want you to write my vision. Where there is no vision, people perish. And I'll say to you, sir, you're never too old. Don't ever use it as an excuse again. Well, I'm this age. I can't do it. So, age has nothing to do with the vision God's put in your heart. But I know you don't let it go, but you like to use that sometimes. You know, we all like capitalize. Sometimes I like to say to my kids, you know, well, I'm not as young as I used to be. Really? And I'm young too. I'm 67. I feel like I'm 37. You thought you were old? That's okay. I'm just telling you this. No, listen to me. Your age is not your excuse. You got on that one side, you're right on there, your vision? You got it on there? Got it written in there? Flip it over. Right on the other side, shifting. There's a shift going on because I'm not staying where I am. I'm moving into another realm. I'm going to challenge you to sow the seed that God puts in your heart, great or large. Because I know in my situation, depending on where I'm at, is what God has me. And whenever I'm believing God for stuff, the bigger, the more He requires. And by the way, God does not create your harvest. He gives you seed for you to create your harvest. He's a seed giver. He's not a harvest producer. Because everything reproduces after its own kind. The seed has in it the ability to produce a harvest. You control the seed. What you do with the seed will determine the harvest that seed can produce. And the instructions you follow will determine whether you get full capacity out of your seed. Isn't that funny? It's a funny thing. Make checks payable to His tabernacle. You do a credit card, His tabernacle. You do cash, His tabernacle. I will never see the money. I'll know how much came in, but I'll never see it because they'll send it to my church. My people will put it into our ministry account, and it'll go to where it belongs. That's something I learned a long time ago. My dad taught me, I don't touch the gold, the glory, or the girls. That way you stay clean. Amen. Besides that, my wife would kill me. But anyway, 39 years this May, so I've got a pretty good thing going. Yeah. I'm believing this is going to be an offering of supernatural return into your life. My prayer is three things. Number one, when we sow this seed, we're sowing for souls. For the sake of the gospel. If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't even be standing here. Number two, we're releasing the presence and power of God from miracles. Supernatural manifestations, blind eyes opening, lame walking, diseases disappearing, bodies being made whole, nothing broken, nothing missing, nothing lost. And number three, we're sowing so that last one, God can make you rich. Rich not just in money, but rich in everything you touch. Successful. If I'm going to be a mechanic, I'm going to be the best. They're going to be lined up with cars trying to get in to see me. If I'm going to be an insurance salesman, man, I'm going to have to hire all kinds of people to take all the things that are coming in. If I'm going to be a teacher, I'm the best. If I'm going to be a lawyer, I'm the best. If I'm a businessman, they're going to be having to stand in line to get my business. That's who you are. You were created for that. Don't settle for anything less. Get that part back up. Get the instruction manual out and put it back together the way it belongs. And get full capacity out of your life. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, the supernatural release, that they will be soul winners wherever they go. People of integrity, people of witness, people that others, when they get around them, will say, how do I know the God that you serve? Father, the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon their lives for signs and wonders and miracles. If Peter's shadow could fall on people, so can theirs and bring miracles. Let them anticipate wherever they go, miracles taking place. And let supernatural riches, prosperity, and blessing be released upon and through their lives in every area of their giftings and calling. And Father, I pray the words we preached, the words we taught, the thoughts we shared will leave them with pictures on their mind of the supernatural in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. If we would bring the buckets forward, please. Let's all stand. Pastor.
You're going to have to buy the DVD. I know it. Because you're going to have to eat this one at least two or three times. Even the first 15 minutes was so rich, that was enough for 10 sermons. So tonight, this is it morning? It's afternoon. Are you ready to give? Amen. Hold your offering up. Lord, we declare blessing in everything we do in sowing. Lord, we know the harvest is on its way. Lord, it's not hope, it's know. Because the harvest has to come when seeds are planted. Life is in the seed. We give you honor and glory in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, make sure you're praying this week for Empower Summit, for the pastors. Come on and bless the Lord. Everybody else, we love you. Have an awesome week. Serve Jesus with all of your heart. Make sure you lead at least one soul to Christ this week.